Okay. Hey, good night, everybody, and welcome to His Tabernacle. And this is the Rock Solid Faith class tonight. Pastor Spencer's not able to be here, but he will be here next week, and he'll be preaching and teaching on spiritual authority, which is one of his favorite topics. So please be sure to come. So we're going to be skipping tonight to chapter 14, jumping over to chapter 15. And because we're going to be missing the spiritual authority before we start tonight's chapter, which is deliverance, I'm just going to go over a few scriptures. Okay. So here we are. Okay. I know this is the few scriptures that we're sharing tonight are from your class last week. So I'd like some interaction. So I'm going to ask you some questions briefly just to get us in tune. Because what I don't want is for what we share tonight about the devil, because we need to know who our adversary is. We need to know his strategies if we're going to be talking about deliverance, which we are. But at the same time, we need to know that as born-again believers, he has no power over us. We have power over him in the name of Jesus. Okay. So I want to do just a quick rehash, not a rehash, but just go through a few scriptures from last week so that we're in that mindset, okay, that God is the supreme authority in the universe. Okay, who are the two main power players in the universe? Yep, the devil and God. Good. Who are God's emissaries to help in the universe?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yep. But he is God. Is God the Holy Spirit? Who else? Your Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's God. He's triune. Let me give you a cue.
Angels.
Angels. All right, good. So the angels help God, okay? And he deploys them and he gives them assignments, okay? And who is the second power player? You already mentioned it, Satan, okay? And so Satan also has demons that help him. And the demons are fallen angels. Okay, they are a third of the angels in heaven were drawn by Satan out of heaven and cast to the earth when Satan was cast out of heaven. Okay, Jesus has already come and defeated the devil. He defeated him completely and made an open show of him. Okay, Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, meaning the devil and the demons, triumphing over them in it. Okay, so we know that God is the supreme ruler and has supreme power. God's angels are beings that were created by God to help us, and they do specific functions. Some are over worship. Some help with protecting us. And in Psalm 34:7, their angels are talked about. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about us and around about those who fear him, and he delivers them. Also, there are ministering angels that minister to us as the saints of God. Okay. And that is found in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So that's us. So when we go to stand or we go to pray for someone relative to deliverance, which is what we're talking about tonight, we need to know we have a whole cavalry of help from God above. We have God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Spirit is imparted to us. He dwells within us. We have the mind of Christ. We have angels that have encamped round about us. They surround us. And at the same time, we have angels that are ministering spirits for us. So we're not standing alone at all. Okay. Jesus came, the word tells us, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay. Satan only tries to counterfeit what God the Father is doing. Okay. He hates God and he wants to destroy everything that God has created and made. Okay. Luke 10:18 through 20 says, he said to them, and this is Jesus talking to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Jesus was talking to his disciples. And again, he says, he's given us authority, the disciples and those who would come after, that's us, over all the power of the enemy. The serpents and scorpions refer to demons. So we have power over them and authority in the name of Jesus, that nothing would hurt us. Okay. But he also cautions us to rejoice in our salvation. That should be our primary joy, is our relationship with God. That salvation, the joy of the Lord, the goodness of God. Sometimes we can become too focused on the world of the darkness and of the enemy, and that is not in balance with what God would have us to do. Okay. Is God an all-knowing God? Does he know everything there is to know? Yes, he does. Okay. Does anyone know what word we use for that? Yep. Yep. Omniscient. Yep. Omniscient. Okay. Is Satan all-knowing? Does he know everything? No, he doesn't. Okay. Can he read our minds or our thoughts? No, he doesn't. So he's very limited compared to God. He really can only know what we're telling him. Okay. So if we have some kind of spirit of fear coming on us and we're feeling afraid, we say, oh, I feel afraid. We just let the enemy know, Satan know that he's doing good work, you know, because we're really afraid. So we need to sometimes be cautious about what we're saying. Okay, is God all powerful? Yes, he is. Okay. And he can do anything. Is there anything he can't do? Okay. Has God limited himself to some things he chooses not to do? Yes. Okay. What are those things? Two. Yep. He won't violate man's free will. And the second thing? Yep. He won't go against his own written word. So those are things, that written word is what we count on. That is an anchor in our lives. Okay. God won't go against that. And he won't force us to do anything. Okay. He values the free will because he wants us to love him freely, not love him because we have to. Okay. Can God be at only one place at one time, or can God be everywhere? Yeah, he's everywhere. Okay, what about Satan? No, he can only be at one place. And of course, he has demons he sends out, he deploys, but they can only be at one place at one time as well. So he's very limited relative to God. Satan in his nature is very different than God. And we need to really realize this when we're praying for deliverance, okay? Satan is hatred. He is lying. He is deceiving, okay? He is not even faithful to his own followers. I remember Pastor Spencer telling a story about some Christians who were walking up a mountain. I think it was in Haiti. And coming down the mountain was a man who had served in witchcraft as a witch doctor. And he was weeping and crying. He was sick. He was covered with boils. I mean, the man was just, his skin was putrid. He was in horrible condition. And as he wept coming down, the Christian men walking up said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "My master has abandoned me. He's cursed me." And he had served a demon. And during the time he served that demon, the demon treated him well in terms he had food, he had prestige in the people there, mainly because they were frightened about the power of the devil in him. But then when the demon was through with that man, he discarded him and cursed him to die a horrible death. And that is the devil. Okay, so we need to realize that and be aware of who our enemy is. And we can thank God that the devil does not have power over us because of the name of Jesus, because of our salvation. Okay, let's see. John 8:44 says, Jesus is talking, and he is saying that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When the devil speaks a lie, he speaks it from his own reasoning. And he is a liar, and he is, in fact, the father of lies. Now, the devil has a specific passion. We're going to get into good God things soon, but I just need to make sure that we understand this. The devil does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, God is love, but the devil is hate. Okay, he hates everything to do with humanity because we as humans have been made in the image of the one who the devil despises the most. And that is God himself. Genesis 1:26 tells us that God had said, "Let us make man in our image," meaning Father, Son, Holy Spirit, "according to our likeness." And we are made in his image, and he has adopted us, who are born again, adopted us into his family. And he's made us in special likeness, and that we are spirit beings, like God is a spirit being. We live in a body. We are spirit beings. We have a soul. We also have the ability to speak. And when God created this world, he spoke things into existence. And so God, through us, can speak many things, and there's great power in that. So we have power in the name of Jesus against the devil. We need to realize the power of our words, because we can speak life, we can speak death. And it's an awesome thing that God has entrusted to us and wanting to speak through us in this way. When we close our eyes in worship on Sunday, and we're in worship and the music is around us, and we just feel the presence of God, the encompassing arms and love of God around us, we feel that love, that total acceptance in God. Total acceptance and love. How awesome that is, right? Yes. Satan, okay, at one time was a precious angel, one of the highest, the archangel of worship. He led people into worship with people. He led the angels. He led the hosts of heaven into worshiping God. And yet, because of his pride, he became proud. He became rebellious. He rebelled against God. He was cast out. He is now so angry at that because he lost. He wanted to be higher than God. And there was no way that he could do that. He lost that battle. And so now he hates us because we are the ones that can enter into worship. And more than that, we are the ones that can enter into being accepted in the presence of God. Because Satan will never, ever experience that love and that acceptance and that embrace of the Heavenly Father. So we need to understand that is his heart. He will always strive to steal what Jesus paid for on the cross. Okay, always. He doesn't seem to give up. He wants to steal family relationships. He wants to steal the relationships within the body of Christ and bring division. He wants people to gossip of each other and misunderstand, to harm each other. He wants people to be sick because Jesus paid for our healing on the cross. He took all of our sicknesses on the cross, paid for them. All of our curses on the cross, paid for them. All of our sins on the cross, and paid for them to buy us this great freedom. So his word can say, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed," because that's what Jesus has done for us. Satan wants to reverse that, and he wants to counterfeit that with all kinds of tormenting plots and bondages in our lives. He also wants us to keep us in poverty so that we never have enough, so that we're not concerned about what we have coming in. He wants our minds to be able to trust in a creator and a God who loves us, who provides for us in abundance, so we not only have enough for ourselves, but we have enough for others to give away. To give away, and that we can look at God and rejoice in his goodness with how much he has blessed us with. Okay, but again, the enemy would want to undo that. We're talking about deliverance, so I'm going through some of these because these relate to deliverance. So the enemy, there are spirits, demon spirits, like of isolation. Sometimes the enemy will try to isolate someone from the flock of God, get them out, get them offended, get them discouraged, get them outside of the church. So they are more vulnerable to his attacks, okay? There's spirit of disunity. There's spirit of unforgiveness. There's a spirit of rejection. There's spirit of abandonment. Many spirits that are of the devil that can really wreak havoc with us emotionally and mentally as well, okay? And we can come against those, okay, with spirits that we pray through God's Holy Spirit. We pray that God work through the spirit of unity. Okay, we can pray that he works through the spirit of forgiveness. Okay, that there is a spirit of restoration among the family members in the body of Christ, because we are a many-membered body, but one body in Christ Jesus, all over the world, one body. And we are one loaf. Okay. We can loose spirits of belonging through the Holy Spirit, and love as well. And we can, in the name of Jesus, command these other spirits of isolation, of rejection, of unforgiveness. We can command them to go in the name of Jesus, and they must go. So God has given us tools. These are prayers of deliverance. You know, how many people have prayed something like that for someone before? Okay. Did you realize you were praying a prayer of deliverance? Okay, that's good. And actually, you were speaking. It's more than praying a prayer. You were speaking to cast out, okay, that demon. You were casting out that demon from the body of Christ. So it no longer had those effects. So people were protected, okay. For unbelievers, the enemy attacks unbelievers as well. There is 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Okay, so in 2 Corinthians, he's blinded the minds of people who don't believe. And again, there are prayers we can pray, okay? Because if people are blind and they can never see the light of the gospel, they'll never be saved. And that makes the devil very happy. So we can pray against those blinders. We can pray that God would remove those blinders from off their eyes. For someone who has trouble hearing the truth of the word, we can pray God would remove the stoppers from out of their ears. Okay, for people who are in deception about and not understanding the truth, we can command that spirit of deception to leave and cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, he has given us, these are prayers of deliverance to help those who are unsaved. We can pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would open people's eyes to the truth of the gospel. We can pray that the Holy Spirit would be that spirit of revelation to that person, that they would be able to see the truth of the love of God for their lives. So there are many things that we can pray as believers, just for one another, for each other, and for ourselves, that will bring us deliverance. Okay, deliverance is not always like someone being possessed and being delivered from that possession. So, okay, to the saint of God, which we are, the enemy is toothless. He may act like a roaring lion because he wants to frighten us, which is his main enemy for us is fear, okay? But his teeth have been removed by Jesus Christ. His claws have been removed, okay? He is the accuser of the brethren, okay? This, again, is something we can pray against with each other because many of us are under condemnation. Many of us sometimes feel judged by other people, or we feel that we are never have achieved what we were meant to achieve, or we have been told by others in our youth, you'll never amount to anything. Oh, you're terrible in school. You might want to be an accountant, and someone might tell you, oh, math was never your strong point. What are you thinking, girl? You know, wake up. And we need to realize that those words are not of God, okay? Because we can do all things through him. And God, if you have in your heart to be an accountant, you prayed and really feel that that's God's will for you, he will give you those strengths. Just because you didn't do well in some other class doesn't necessarily mean that you won't do well in this vocation that he is laying on your heart to pursue. Okay. For the condemnation, that is a spirit. God never sends condemnation. If we're sinning, he'll send conviction, that to let us know, you're heading into deep water. Turn around, go back, repent. Okay, but the condemnation comes from the devil, and it's something that kills our spirit. It squashes us. And again, we can pray that off. We can cast it off. I need to stop saying pray it off. We can cast it off. Say, I cast you off in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. Go and never return. And that must happen. Okay. We need to pray as believers for discernment, okay, so that we are really able to understand the plans of the enemy, of his attack, and of his strategy, not only for ourselves and our family, but also for our friends and our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we run into. Because God wants us to be used by his spirit in us to help bring freedom to those around us, to ourselves, to our family. Okay. It says he's a deceiver, will come into your life with good things and nice things. But in the end, his plot is to steal what Jesus already paid for. So again, we need to be aware of the wiles of the enemy. The enemy has the powers of an angel. He does not have the power of God. But we need to be careful not to be those that scoff at the devil. Because some people say, oh, he has no power. Oh, you know, Well, we need to be careful. We need to not be fearful, because we don't need to be fearful. But it's like if you're going into a battle and say you're over there, you're going to battle ISIS. You don't want to show up in like your t-shirts and your shorts and your sandals and say, I'm here to do battle, you know, because you won't last long. So God has told us to make sure we're wearing the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6:11, to put on that whole armor that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Because again, his power is mostly in trying to cause us to be fearful and afraid. Okay, and he wants us to be able to stand. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And again, many times we may have people coming against us. We need to realize it's not the person. There is a demon that is behind that. It's a demonic attack. So when we pray, if we're just praying against the person, that is not how God would have us pray. But we need to really get that demon, cast it off, and get rid of it. Okay. That will help the person as well that is coming against us. Because God loves them, and he would love to have them restored to fellowship with himself, with God. Okay, we're warring against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. So we need to take up the armor of God, okay, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, their ranks and powers, which we have already discussed. And scripture again in Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, those of the demon, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Okay, there are many different demons. We've talked about some. You know, we've talked about unforgiveness and condemnation. There are other demons that are listed in the Bible, and usually a demon is just named by whatever it does. So a demon of blindness causes blindness. Demon of deafness, the same. Of infirmities, you call it a demon of infirmities. Demons strive to get people to commit suicide. There's a demon of depression, okay, that is very prevalent within our society at this time. Can cause different mental illnesses. Demons can work in many areas of people's lives, like in addictions, that type of thing. Okay, but again, we have power in the name of Jesus to cancel his power and to cast that demon out and to walk in the freedom and the love of Jesus Christ. Okay, and for instance, when we cancel out, say, a demon of condemnation, we need to speak and profess the word and truth of God, that I am, as a believer, am accepted in the beloved. I'm not condemned. Okay, I am the righteousness of Christ through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. I'm a joint heir. God will never leave. He will never forsake me. You know, I am loved with an everlasting love. We need to speak the truths of God into our soul and our spirit, okay, to cancel, to also help whatever we've cast out now no longer have a place to come back. We need to remove any doubt or any unbelief that we might have in our hearts. There's one more scripture I wanted to read, which was 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And that means somebody who's already born again, who's been walking with the Lord, solid in the Lord, will actually turn away from the faith because they've been seduced by demon spirits. And I watched a movie recently about an awesome man, a preacher, a man of great integrity, of great intelligence, of great heart and loving of people. And he heard a voice speak to him. His uncle had passed away, was not saved, and a voice spoke to him, saying things that were totally contrary to what we know to be about salvation, you know. And he listened to that voice, and even though it was contrary to the word of God, and this was in a point, I don't want to get into it, in a point where there's scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. I mean, there's no question, you know. He stood up in the pulpit the next Sunday and preached that. And so many of his congregation left. Some stayed with him because they felt bad for him. They pitied him and didn't want to leave, and he lost his church, and so many things happened in his life. And now he is occasionally preaching and teaching in one of the cults in the area he was in. But I'm saying that to say, okay, that we as believers, no matter how strong, how solid we are, no matter how many years we've walked with God, we need to be careful, always on the guard against some kind of a lying, deceiving, seducing spirit. Okay, if we think we've heard a voice and that voice is contradicting the Word of God, what is truth? What is eternal? The Word of God is eternal. Okay, we can be mistaken about a voice. There are many voices, you know, so we need to really be founded in the Word of God and not to get off from that. We need to be aware that in our walk with the Lord, so many times we base things on what we can see, touch, feel, but yet we need to realize that this whole world around us is going to pass away. This is only temporary. Our spirits, our souls are eternal. Okay, the world that is unseen to us, that world of the spirit, that is what is forever. And God wants us to be able to see more and more into that world. He wants us to be able to hear more and more His voice. And I know Pastor Andrea says, you know, God is always talking to us. Are we listening? You know, sometimes we listen when we're like, God, what do I do? But she says He's always talking. And that part of our growing and maturing in God is learning to hear that voice and be so aware of God's voice, because He loves us so much, okay? So again, God has given us spiritual authority, and Pastor Spencer will be talking on that next week. And we want to just clarify the difference between oppression and possession, because in deliverance, we can deliver from oppression, we can deliver from possession. And the word says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that is so true. Okay, and there's a huge difference we need to understand. Oppression is when a demonic spirit is on someone. It's outside the body, okay, and not inside them. Okay, oppression is best understood as being lorded over, as something that's wanting to have a strong influence on us, but it does not have control of us. We can choose not to do or to feel what that oppression is trying to place on us, but it can be a real battle, which is why it's important to cast it off. Possession, on the other hand, Jackie, would you come up and help me? Let me show what oppression is. Okay, Jackie's my volunteer. Okay, oppression can be like someone whispering in your head, saying to you, they're on your shoulder. You know the old angel and the devil on the shoulder, telling you this is the good and this is the bad? Yeah, it's like the devil saying, I'm going to stand over here. Mm-hmm. You know, you really want those darts. Your grandkids have been asking for those darts, and somebody left them there. You don't want to go, so don't go. Okay, I want to drag you over here. Okay. So I'm going to try to get her to come over. Come on, come over and take them. No. Nobody's looking. Are you looking? No. Everybody look. Come on, you want to get those. No. Okay, why don't you want to go?
No,
you don't. You really want those. No. Come on. You're going to be sad if you go home and you don't have them.
No.
They're going to be sad when they open their birthday presents and they're not there.
Okay,
that's good. That's oppression, okay? Possession is different. Possession is when a demon actually comes and lives inside of a person. We as believers cannot be possessed, but Jackie is going to pretend that she is possessed right now, okay? When a demon actually controls us in possession, and not a believer, but an unbeliever in possession, that demon within her, I can't go within her, actually moves her over. You are going to take those. You don't want to, but you will. You are stealing those. And you are going to do this with them and that with them. They are yours. Okay, so that she can't stop herself. She can't help herself. Okay, you did good, Jackie. Thank you so much. Okay, I don't know what you're going to do with them. So. They were here. They are somebody else's who just left them here. Okay, please don't steal them. Okay, for possession. And again, possession is not something that we as believers wrestle with. It means ownership. It means the demon has come to live inside and owns that person. Okay, they literally live in them. Okay, they want to counterfeit what God has done through His Son Jesus. Just as Jesus needs a body to live through, and that's why He sent us the Holy Spirit. You realize we're actually possessed by the Holy Spirit? We are possessed, but fortunately by a loving God of great goodness who will not violate our will. That was one of the things. He won't violate our will, and he abides by His written word. I mean, what an awesome God. What if God was not like that? Can you imagine? I sometimes think of that, and it's scary, okay? The devil is not the same, though. The devil is horrid and hateful. And so when he possesses a person, usually the devil through that person does very diabolical and horrible things, okay? And not only does he do that to other people through that person, but he can cause that person to commit suicide. He can cause that person to do many things to themselves, to the family members that they love the most. And I know with some people who are actually demon-possessed, they are aware of what is happening and what the devil is making them do. And can you imagine the torment of that? Okay. But other people, it's like they black out and they don't know. They're not aware. And they find out later what it is they did. But this, if someone is possessed, you need to realize they are really in torment. And they really need help. They need to be set free. This is not what they want. No one would want to be possessed. Okay, it's horrible. We need to grab hold of the truth. Pastor wants to make sure we know that a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. That's the demon on the inside. But a Christian can be oppressed. That's like the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of depression, those things. We can be oppressed by a sickness, by an infirmity. Those are oppressions, and those are things we can pray off ourselves. We can command them to go in the name of Jesus. We cast them off ourselves, and we have the power to do that in the name of Jesus because of his finished work on the cross and that he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave following his death on the cross. He took those keys, and he defeated the enemy, took his power. Pastor talks about being at Bible college when there was a student there who was telling other students that they were possessed and needed deliverance. And he would call the other students up to his dorm, not pastor, but this other student. And he would pray for those people and pray and cast demons out of these people, this type of thing. And pastor heard about it, and he threatened the guy that if you don't stop, I'm going to go to the dean and turn you in. And the guy said, no, I'm not going to stop. And so pastor said, we need to go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. You open your Word, I'll open my Word, and we'll go along with what the Word of God says. If he says what you're doing is right, then you're right. If he says what you're doing is wrong, then you're wrong and you need to stop. And when they went to the Word of God, the Word of God proved that a demon cannot live in a house already occupied by God. We are temples. We are already occupied by God the Holy Spirit. A demon cannot enter in. And that was proven, and the young man did cease his activities. He realized he was in error. There are several scriptures that preach on this and that teach on this that pastor feels is important to read because we need to know because sometimes demons may try to lie to us or seduce us, and we need to know what the Word says. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So whose temple are we? God's. Who's living here? God. Actually, down here. Okay. So we're literally possessed. He lives inside us. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known which are the riches. What? I can't even read. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who in us? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. This is Paul speaking, okay. But Christ who lives in me, and the life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay. God would never share his house with a demonic spirit. So about Christians, okay, being demon oppressed, okay. Again, the demon can come on the outside. They actually can attach, okay. And sometimes if you have something attached to you, people will be commanding and casting it off and may even command like talents to be released, things like that, because sometimes it's like they hook in, okay. So just get it off, okay. Pastor tells a story about a woman in Tennessee. He was traveling on the road as an evangelist, and there was a prayer line that night after a Sunday night service, and the line was getting smaller, and the woman was next in line to be prayed for, and when she got right in front of him, she suddenly turned and ran out of the church. Well, she came back on a Wednesday night, and when she came in the door, the Holy Spirit spoke to Pastor, and he said, and this is through discernment, this is why we need to pray, God would increase our discernment, that she had two demon spirits tormenting her, oppressing her. She was a Christian. They were oppressing from the outside, okay? And one was a depressive spirit, okay, and the other was a tormenting spirit, okay? So Pastor realized that, and so he commanded those to come off her in the name of Jesus, and she was set free. And immediately she felt the release. Her whole countenance changed. She actually started dancing and started saying, I'm free, I'm free. And later she shared that when she was 4 years old, okay, she'd been raped, sexually abused, and in trying to comfort herself, she would talk to herself. A demon came in during that time of woundedness in her life. It didn't come in. It came on during her woundedness, and began to talk back to her in her own voice. So it was like a conversation she was having with this demon, but she thought the demon was just a child's voice. The demon would come in her dreams and talk to her in her dreams. Okay. And that Sunday night when she came in for prayer, that little girl's voice, when she was going to get prayed for, said, run, because that demon knew if she got prayed for, the demon would be ousted. The pastor would recognize it and oust it. It didn't want to get ousted, but that woman persisted, and when she came back and got prayed for that Wednesday night, there were those two demons were the ones that got ousted by the power of the name of Jesus, and that woman was set free. You have to realize for 30 years, this woman was tormented by this voice, and it was always giving her bad advice and always telling her to run and to be in fear. That is torment, okay? And yet, it's through the name of Jesus Christ, through the power in that name, she can be set free. You know, that's awesome. We can do that too. Okay. Let's see. One time Pastor was preaching in terms of sickness. This is an example. He was preaching the word, and a man came up who had had a specific pain in the back of his lower back. And God had given Pastor a word of knowledge that somebody had a pain and that God would be willing to hear it, heal it. So he said, you know, anyone having that pain? And so the man came up. Pastor laid hands on him, released the healing anointing of God, into the man's back. That back was healed, and then a pain occurred here. Same man, right then. And so Pastor released the healing anointing for the pain right here. It got healed. Pain occurred a different place of the body. And so Pastor Spencer's like, this is a demon spirit. Okay, so he cast that spirit off that man, okay, because again, it's an oppression, it's on him, not in him, off that man. He was instantly completely healed and had no more problems from that ailment, from that infirmity. So there is true power in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's see. There was another woman in Orange County in Massachusetts, or maybe it's Orange is a city, I'm not sure, but in Massachusetts. And a woman came up to Pastor at the end of one of the services, told her she was trying to bring in a believer who was struggling with agoraphobia. And that's like, it can be, it's a fear of crowds and also open spaces. And she had not left her house for 5 years. So this woman was trying to get this lady to come to be set free. And she was able to. The lady came in the next night and they brought her up to get prayed for, and she was instantly set free. And it was a spirit of fear that was on her as an oppression, okay? On her, instantly left, and she had no fear of anything. She could go into movie theaters, into restaurants, into huge open fields, totally, completely set free. And yet she had been a prisoner of fear for 5 years to an extreme degree. Okay, so Pastor is explaining here, to get rid of demon and demonic oppression is rather easy for us as believers. Okay, it was explained in the last chapter, okay, about authority, which we haven't had yet. But the demons hope that you and I do not realize that we can cast them out in the name of Jesus. We can cast them off in the name of Jesus if it's a believer. They hope that we don't realize that. And they hope that they can intimidate us. They hope that we can feel like, oh my goodness, can I really pray this prayer? Okay. Whereas we can because of the name of Jesus. Okay. We don't pray a spirit off. We cast a spirit off. So if I've said the wrong word in this, I apologize for that. We cast a spirit off. We speak to the demon and command it to go in Jesus' name. So you know, we say, spirit of fear, demon, get off in the name of Jesus. We command it to go. And let's see, Luke 10, 18 through 19 says, I give you authority, and we already read this, to trample on serpents and scorpions, which are demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, so much that the spirits are subject to you or that the demons are subject to you, you know, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We need to take authority over the spirit, command it to go, and it has to go. But demons can be like dogs, so pastors alerting us to this. Sometimes you tell a dog, go over there and sit down, and he goes over and he sits down. But when you're not looking and you're talking, the dog may want to be lying over here by your feet. He may kind of sneak back over and try to take up that same position. And demons are very similar to that. So don't be surprised, okay, if you end up having to, again, cast that demon off, okay? The demon doesn't want to give up what it's trying to keep. And until he knows, until the demon knows that you're not going to give back what the demon has lost, okay, he may keep trying to come. But as soon as he realizes that you are going to really stand as a sentry and not allow that return, they will give up, okay? So you just need to be, don't be surprised or don't think, oh, it didn't work. You know, it's 2 weeks later and look, the dog's back. No, it worked. You just need to pray again and make sure that they know you mean what you're saying. So possession is altogether different, okay? In Matthew 1, 32 and 33, okay, it says, they went out and behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And again, the demon with demon possession is what? Inside, controlling, okay? The man was mute, meaning he couldn't speak. And when the demon was cast out, the man who had been mute was able to speak. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Mark 5, 120, again, another case of demon possession. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he'd often been bound with chains and shackles. The chains had been pulled apart by him. The shackles had been broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, this man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Look at the torment this man was in. Isn't that incredible? Okay, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him and cried out with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I'm imploring you by God that you do not torment me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then Jesus said to the man, what is your name? Actually, he's talking to the demon. What is your name? The demon answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Okay. Also, he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send the demons out of the country. And sometimes demons are assigned to geographic locations, and it would seem that this legion of demons wanted to stay and remain in that area. So that's why he was saying that. Okay. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Again, there were 2,000 of them. And the herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who had fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. Okay, and people then came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion of demons, but he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. They were afraid. Again, you got to think of stories like this. It's not a story, it's a scripture, but recording the events. If we as believers came and saw a man who had been demon-possessed, restored and in his right mind, would we be afraid? No, wouldn't we be praising God and giving glory? So you have to think that some of these people were really under an oppression of the enemy, that when they came and saw that, they were like, oh no, you know? So they began to then plead with Jesus to depart from their region because they were afraid of the power of God to set people free, you know, to get rid of the demons. Jesus got into the boat, and he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that the demon-possessed man who had been, well, the man who had been demon-possessed, might stay with Jesus. He wanted to travel with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you." And so Jesus departed. No, not Jesus. And the man then departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Because the man was very well known. Okay, so again, those are examples of demon possession and of deliverance from that in the name of Jesus. Okay, so and there are many more references in the Word of God. How to cast out a devil. Okay, again, it's not difficult for the believer. We've been mandated to cast out devils in the Word of God. Anybody realize that? Okay, and the Word says that if we are believers, we're going to cast out devils. So a lot of the scripture that we're studying is so that we realize we don't have to be in fear with this. When you cast out a devil, you're standing up and you're commanding that demon to leave. It's like you're doing a face-to-face confrontation, you know. But again, we have a whole company, a host of heaven surrounding us. We have the Word of God. We have the covering of the blood of Jesus to protect us as well in Jesus' name. Okay. So Mark 16:17 says, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." Okay. We're able to do this only in the name of Jesus. It's not in our name. It's not in our power. It's only in the finished and accomplished work of Jesus. It's his victory. And we're just enjoying the empowerment of that victory. One other thing that the pastor wants us to be aware of, just knowing Jesus' name does not mean we can, if we are not believers. An unbeliever, just knowing Jesus' name, cannot use his name and cast out a demon. We're able to cast out the demon in the name of Jesus because we have God the Holy Spirit living in us, and we are in relationship with Jesus. That's why we have that power of his victory. Someone who is an unbeliever and uses the name of Jesus to try to cast out a demon may find themselves in very deep water because they don't have the same protection. They don't have the covering, and there isn't the same power, okay? And there's, you know about the sons of Sceva, okay? They went out, and they were sons of a Jewish chief priest, okay? And they went out and to exorcise evil spirits, and the spirit answered, and they said, "We exorcise you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches." They didn't know Jesus, they didn't know Paul, but they'd heard of them. So these seven sons were there trying to exorcise a demon. Okay. And what happened was the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon him. Before that, they said, "I know Paul and I know Jesus, but I don't know you." The demon didn't recognize them because they were not born again. So then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked, and they fled out of the house wounded. Okay, we just need to be aware that, again, God has called us to help set people free. And there's so many things that we can do to help in that area. You may have children at home. Maybe a child is trying to pretend they're sick to skip school because when you talk with them, it ends up there's a bully bullying them in school and they're afraid and intimidated to go to school. Well, intimidation and fear, what are those? Yeah, they're demon spirits. You can help your child. You can pray over your child. You can cast those things off your child. You can pray over the school, cast them over, you know, off over the school. There's so much that God has given us as tools to help our child and our children and our families to be safe and to be free from these things. How horrible it would be to be bullied like that in school. How many kids have committed suicide because they've been bullied? I mean, a lot. And how many others are really wounded emotionally? They don't know Lord. They don't know how to receive healing from him for those wounds. But many people live with those wounds their whole lives, and it really, really affects their lives. It really turns them on a different path than they were meant to take and purposed to take. You may have someone who is trying to get better organized in their home, And one of the things they want to do, it seems like somebody in their home, this is an example, everything the wife tries to do, she's a stay-at-home mom, it's just, she never gets anything done. Her husband's having the same problem. He works. She has two children. The kids are having trouble organizing their schoolwork and their homework. And it's just, things are late, things are undone. It's just like going on. And so she talks to a friend. And the friend says, aha, okay, what do you folks here think might be happening in her home? Does it sound like everybody's being attacked by sort of the same thing? Okay, what do you think it might be? Do you know? Yes, demons. Demons, okay. So they're like demons of distraction. There can be demons of confusion. There can be demons of delay. You can be expecting something in the mail and there's this huge delay. You can need a reference for a job you're wanting to get and there can be this delay. There can be all those things. So God has given us tools, like for this woman, she can take authority over that in the name of Jesus and cast out those demons. And there may be other demons that we don't know about because this is a made-up story, but she can cast them out in the name of Jesus, out of her home, away from her husband and her children. And when she gets up in the morning, okay, she needs to start with what? The Word of God. Start with that, you know. And even if it's 15 minutes, and ask God to give her a promise, an encouragement, something for the day, because she is at her wit's end at this point, because she sees it's like her whole family's falling apart. Okay, and then what does she do? She asks God to order her day, and the day of her husband, and the day of her kids. She asks God to have divine order for that day. Okay, and she prays that over her household. Okay, and so then when she starts her day, she can get things done. And God has shown her what to do. She can pray against spirits of distraction, like phone calls that are erroneous that she doesn't need, something in the mail that's erroneous that she really doesn't need to attend to right there. She prays that God gives her wisdom as to what to address immediately and what to, you know, address later in her life or later in the day. There are just many things. Someone who wants a job, they're all excited about the job. They really need the job. They're psyched. They did well in the interview. It's their first day. And there are major traffic problems and they're late to work. And then the next day they get there on time, but they've caught this horrible cold. They're working at a Subway with all those delicious, fresh, yummy vegetables. They're coughing and sneezing and people are like, "Ick, don't make my sub." Somebody else make my sub. It's like, ugh. So the owner's getting concerned about that. So the man can go home and he can pray and say, "God, you know, the spirit of infirmity that's come upon me, the spirit of delay, the spirit of interruption, and your plan and purpose for my life, I cast those off me in the name of Jesus." You know, when I pray the peace of God and the order of God in my life, I pray health and wellness and wholeness in the name of Jesus, that I walk in these things. You know, and God, give me some creative ideas. How can I better this company? How can I better my workplace? You know, how can I show my coworkers, my new coworkers, how I appreciate their helping me learn the ropes of this? There's a lot to learn, you know. And so God gives him an idea of making up some cards that are really beautiful cards, okay? They're gorgeous to look at, and he writes scriptures on them that are encouraging, okay? And so he makes up a stack of these cards, prints them out. They're in color. They're beautiful. He takes them into work. He thanks his coworkers. He's not coughing and sneezing. He's on time. And he thanks them and passes them out. The coworkers are pleased. And people coming in see them and say, "Can I have one of those? Can I have one of those? Can I have one of those?" And pretty soon they're all gone. And so the people are asking for more. So he makes more the next day and brings them in. And they're all gone before the morning's even out. And so the owner, who's a Christian, you know, is looking and seeing this man really has some really good graphics. And he also seems to have, you know, maybe a sense of he'd be somebody who could help make up a good advertisement. You know, I don't really want to hire some professional that's expensive, but I'm going to see what he can do. So he says to the guy, "Why don't you go and bring me some stuff on ways I can advertise? This is the vision I have. I want to open up another store. This is where I want to do it. These are the people. Bring me something, some ideas." So the man goes home, he prays, God gives him ideas. He's got the graphics and all of this to put together some really nice stuff, brings it in the next day, meets with the owner, and the owner is like, "Wow, this is dynamite." He uses that, and his business is just exploding. I mean, doing so well. The new store opens, things are going really well. Other people see those graphics and the ads, and they are contacting this guy to say, will you do some for us? So he does some for them as well. And he's realizing, this is a skill. God has given me this skill. So he finds out what's available in terms of other positions where he could do just this job because he loves it, you know. And so he goes, he finds out he needs some schooling. He continues working at Subway and it's a good thing. It's like family there. Everybody supports him. He supports them. There's a piece of God there. And he goes and he gets his schooling. And then he prays about where to work. And God opens a door for him in an awesome place to work. And he works. And he finds out this is really what he was meant to do. And there are so many opportunities for God in this place because of this skill that he never knew he had that was uncovered in this small little step-by-step manner. So I'm just saying this, that if that man had succumbed to discouragement, I've been late, oh, they're going to fire me. Oh, I've got this cold, I'm going to give up. They're going to fire me. Nobody wants me sneezing on their green peppers, you know. If that man had given up, he would never be in that place and never be fulfilling what God has called him to do. So something like praying off a cold may seem like a small thing, but it's not. It's a big thing. Because God wants us to walk free and he wants us to be able to walk into his plan and purpose and to be that blessing in that light wherever we are, family, workplace, friends, neighbors, family. So we just need, when we pray for people, we need to be aware this is an enemy who has supernatural angel powers. We need to be what? Wearing the armor of God. We need to plead the blood of Jesus. And we need to stand on his word, and we need to pray in the name of Jesus. So we don't do it lightly or flippantly. You know, we do it with realizing we have a serious adversary, but one who is defeated. And we are really just executing and releasing the victory that has already been won. Okay, but again, I'm just saying we need to do it with carefulness, but with confidence. Because God, Satan just doesn't stand. And he's like, you know, and God is everything. You know, and it's Satan is this, but he's not only this, he's defeated, which makes him like this. Okay, so just thank you, everybody. You've been so attentive. I appreciate it. You have a good night. Pastor Spencer will be back next week. We're supposed to close in prayer, I think. Father God, I thank you for the people who came out tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word that it's truth. I thank you that you are a good, good God. And that, Lord, you so love us, Lord. And you've given us the tools that we need to stand against this adversary. And Jesus, you yourself came to destroy the works of the devil on our behalf. And now we as your body of Christ are to rise up and continue destroying those works that we and our friends, our family, are able to walk in the freedom that you died to purchase for us, oh God. We thank you, Lord. Give us greater discernment, Lord. May we walk carefully and circumspectly before you, always measuring what we see and hear by the truth of your word, Lord, which is for eternity. And God, we thank you. We pray you bless everyone on the way home in terms of safety, of peace, and of joy, oh Lord. For those who are going to snack on the way home, Lord, may they enjoy their snacks. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, guys.